Welcome to Harvest Valley Worship Center's Sermon of the Week. You can discover more about our church, pastors, and special guests at hvwc.com. We hope that you are blessed by today's message.
We are in a series. How many of you know that God said that 2023 was going to be the year of synergy? This is the year where things coming together are more powerful together than they are apart. Amen. Kim, is it true? It's true. Synergy is powerful when you get a group of people together going after whatever it is that God has. We are more powerful together than we will ever be on our own. Amen? Well, I felt like as we exited 2023, before Christmas, I wanted to take time to lay groundwork, to lay a foundation for our culture and our values here at Harvest Valley Worship Center. Many of you know these, they're on the website, but there's some of them that we are becoming a little bit more aggressive with, maybe. I don't know if that's the right word. I like the way I said that. Aggressive, right? You know? There is something powerful to coming together. And when we know how we get to be together, when we know how we get to interact with each other, when we know how our values and our culture shape everything that we do, the more synergy we get to live in, the more synergy we get to experience. All right, so the PowerPoint was open. Hey, yes. Okay, so let's go back one. Wait, hang on. Up, yeah. Okay, don't touch anything. Wait. Hey, it works. Praise Jesus. Okay. All right. I know. Some days, it's a little extra getting technology to work. These are our core values. These values drive everything that we do. They are a measure of what we are looking to become. We want to be people of high character. We want to be people with very healthy, good, clear communication. And I taught on that last week. I got great feedback from a lot of people on it because I really dove pretty deep on how we can communicate and what God's will is for communication. Okay, we don't run and hide, and we're not aggressive, and we're not passive aggressive, right? We're not fake on the outside and have saying something behind the back on the other side. We don't do that. Okay, we have healthy communication. We have a spirit of excellence here. Excellence says that we're going to go further with everything that we can. It's doing the best with what you got every chance you get, right? So that's excellence. And then today we're going to take time to talk about loyalty. This is a newer one. We kind of shifted this up a little bit because I feel like we have to break an independent spirit over this region. And if we have one of our values is loyalty, we might actually see the kingdom of God manifest in a greater measure. So we're going to go after that today. And then our other one is stewardship, managing heaven's resources for the Father's business. Right? And the heart of a good steward says, it'll never be mine, God. It'll always be yours. It'll never be mine. I'm never going to be the owner of anything. I'm a steward of everything that you've given to me. And I'm going to steward it well. Why? Because I've got good character. Right? And so stewardship is the next one. Now, in order to do that, we have some cultural keys. Live a lifestyle of forgiveness. We don't harbor things against people ever. Right? God actually, that message is going to be fun. Mike is going to preach that one. Somebody say amen. That's going to be good. All right. And then we have intimacy. We believe strongly that vulnerability in deep relationships changes lives. Trust is a choice. We choose to believe the best. We choose to trust each other. Somebody say amen. Amen. Passion. We are pursuing God's best with zeal.
Yeah.
Amen.
Empowerment. We will trade teachability for the strength that is on our house. Empowerment means that if you're teachable, if you're willing to work with us, you run. We want you to run. We want you to be empowered, especially if you're in leadership here. If you're working with a team here, you like, can we just take Tim for example? Tim said, we need vests. Okay, great. Great. We need umbrellas. How many of you enjoyed the umbrella today? Did you need it? I don't know if it was still raining outside. We didn't need it. I was excited to see those umbrellas running around the parking lot. Right? Because we want to provide. Tim has a vision that requires us to be the friendliest church in North Idaho. Well, that's when you step on the lot. You need to feel that. Right? So he's got a vision for that. So he's empowered to get after it. Right? And we work together. We talk about stuff every week because he's empowered to go after it and lead his team. Okay? Empowerment and love. Right? We know that with love, we are being the best expression of Christ on the earth. Great word, Kim. You know, we get to be the best expression of Christ when we operate in love. Now, there's a couple big words that you won't see on this list here, like honor and grace. I'll just say those two words, but they're actually really well exemplified through everything that we say up here. So they're just exemplified in what we do. And so today we're going to talk about loyalty. What does loyalty mean? It means choosing to live in unity through our commitment to love God and support each other. Choosing to live in unity through our commitment to love God and support each other. You know, loyalty is interesting because many of us have experienced pretty extreme betrayals in our lives. You know, I was watching a pastor's conference thing online, and one of the pastors said this thing that just kind of struck me. He says, the average, over the course of an average person's life, you will lose 7 major relationships, whether it's through conflict or a death. 7 major losses relationally over the course of a lifetime. The average pastor experiences that 7 times a year. That was crazy to me. And I started looking back and I go, okay, 24 months, I can count 7. So what's interesting about that is that rejection and betrayal are commonplace in relationships of this world. They are not to be in the body of Christ. Yeah. We should not be experiencing rejection and betrayal in the body of Christ. That was a great place to say amen. We should not be experiencing that. And one of the things that's difficult is that oftentimes what we perceive as betrayal and as rejection is actually someone's self-protection measure. They're uncomfortable and they're self-protecting. And because of the woundedness in us, we take it as rejection. We take it as a betrayal. I can't count how many people have left church, even this church, without ever speaking a word, without ever having a conversation, without ever saying boo about it. People who've been long time involved, for whatever reason, they felt they were going to, shall we say, take the high road. But it wasn't the high road, it was self-protection. For some reason, there was a fear of having communication. There was a fear of that that actually birthed the betrayal and it birthed the rejection before there was ever a conversation. We need healing. We need healing because we are called to be devoted to one another. We are called to make choices, to choose to live in unity, to support each other, and to love God with all of our heart. It's a choice. You're not forced to it. This is a choice. This is why we want this to be part of our culture. We are loyal to each other. We don't run from the fight. We're on the same team. I don't care what's going on in your world. We love you, and there's nothing you can do about it. Amen. We're loyal. We are a loyal people. Amen? Yes. Now, I'm going to break this down into these three sections that you see up here on the definition, right? Okay, so we've got to choose to live in unity. How? Through our commitment to love God and support each other. So we're going to talk about what does it mean to be loyal in how you love God, loyal in how you support each other, and loyal in a way that builds unity in the body of Christ. Are you guys ready to run with me today? All right. I love it. I love it. So number one, commitment to God. Commitment to God. We have to be committed to the Father. We have to be committed to the Father. We have to be committed to the Son. We have to be committed to the Holy Spirit. Now, all three are not the same. They all play a different role. And the scripture, 1 John 4, tells us that they're three are one. All three are one. This is, the Trinity is not some weird made up thing out of the ether that somebody made up in the third century at the Council of Nicaea. Stop watching TikTok. This is a foundational part of doctrine that we are faithful to. God in three persons. We see him at creation. We see all three at creation. We see the three embodied as Jesus walked, the baptism of Jesus. This is my beloved Son in whom I'm well pleased. And the Holy Spirit's like, I'm coming in hot. All right. So there's this reality that all three were present at the baptism of Jesus, and we're not making this up. Now, let me also say that the Lord has given us scripture that we must be loyal to as well. Now, scripture is not the third or fourth person of the Trinity. Scripture is God breathed. God has given this to us. Scripture is not God, though God speaks in the scriptures. He has given us his word so that we will know what to do. We know how to live. We know how to be. So you know I'm not making this up. Let's look at scripture. The Father, Matthew 22, 36 and 38. Jesus is being questioned, and he says, Teacher, which is the greatest commandment in the law? Jesus said to him, You shall love the Lord your God with all of your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment. Love God. Love the Father with all that you have. Secondly, let's talk about Jesus. In Luke 14, we hear this in verse 27 through 33. My note takers, I see you scribbling away. Praise Jesus for you, note takers. Jesus Christ says this in verse 27 of Luke 14, and whoever does not bear his cross and come after me cannot be my disciple. For which of you intending to build a tower does not sit down first and count the cost? Whether he has enough to finish it, lest after he has laid the foundation and is not able to finish, all who see it begin to mock him, saying, This man began to build and was not able to finish. Or what king going to make war against another king does not sit down first and consider whether he is able with 10,000 to meet him who comes against him with 20,000? Or else, while the other is still a great way off, he sends a delegation and asks conditions of peace. Well, here's the key, verse 33. So likewise, whoever of you does not forsake all that he has cannot be my disciple. We are called to forsake all for Jesus. All. It means the same thing in Greek and Hebrew. All. All, forsake all. I was at a youth conference years ago, right after I was saved. I was living in Sweet Home, Oregon at this Assembly of God church. I was living in the back of it as kind of a church mouse in a discipleship program similar to Bethesda Men's House, trying to stay sober and pursue Jesus. So they had me, you know, just, you know, I am who I am, and people automatically see my leadership even before I had the character to carry it. And so I'm with the youth pastor. He's mentoring me, and we're going on this youth trip. We took a bunch of youth to this AG youth conference, and we had a silent video, you know, where they play the music and you act it all out. You're all like, you know, doing all the things. And I was in the youth pastor's breakout session, just paying attention. And I asked this question. I said, what does the ministry cost you? What's it cost you to be in the ministry? And the younger youth pastor goes, oh man, it was so hard. It cost me so much. I don't get the freedom to do this, and I don't get, I got to choose this. And you see these old ministers who've been doing it for a long time, just smiling ear to ear. And they pass it over, and the next guy says, cost me everything, and I love it. It cost me everything because he's given me everything. Some of us have been living in lack because we're focused on loss. We're focused on what we're missing, not what he's actually given to you, not what he's put in your hand. So you've lived a life focused on forsaking all and the cost that this is to forsake, and yet this is where true life is found. It's where real life begins, at the cross. When you lay everything down, he gets to bless. He gets to move. He now has freedom to shape and move everything in your life. But if you're unwilling to let go of those things you've been hanging on to, you're stuck. In one word, you're praying God for his blessing, but you won't let go of what you need to forsake. This is a season. Let go. Time to let go. Forsake all for Jesus. Amen? Amen? All right, let's talk about the Holy Spirit. Romans 8, 13 through 17 says this, for if you live according to the flesh, you will die. Thanks, Paul. But if by the Spirit you put to death the deeds of the body, you will live. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are sons of God. For you did not receive the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you received the spirit of adoption, by whom we cry out, Abba, Father. The Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God, and if children, then heirs, heirs of God, and joint heirs with Christ, if indeed we suffer with him, that we may also be glorified together. So when we're talking about the Holy Spirit, listen. We are to be led by the Spirit of God. We've received the Spirit of adoption, and his Spirit bears witness with our spirit that we are sons. We have to be loyal to the voice of the Holy Spirit. Some of us have not spent enough time listening to the Holy Spirit to tell the difference. Let me just tell you, he's loud. You don't have to wonder if it's the Holy Spirit or if it's bad pizza or if, you know, you just had too much pizza last night at McKenzie River Pizza Company. That was that was me last night. The reality is the Spirit of God is speaking to your spirit and he doesn't stop. You are connected with the Spirit of God. You need anything at any point in time, be loyal to the voice of the Holy Spirit. He will lead you, guide you, direct you. And guess what? It's not going to make sense all the time. It's not supposed to. You're not God. I just blew somebody's brain right there. I just saw like, you know, the whole wheels. That hamster fell off the wheel hard on that one. Listen, you're not God. You have to listen to the Holy Spirit because the Spirit of God is in you. Now, as you walk with the Lord, guess what? You begin to have the mind of Christ. As you listen to the being led, as the passion says, as you're led by the whispers, right? By the impulses of the Holy Spirit, you start to think like he thinks, you speak like he speaks, right? It becomes more and more and more as you listen to the Holy Spirit, it becomes natural for you to listen and obey and thrive with the Holy Spirit. So be loyal to the Holy Spirit. If the Holy Spirit's giving you a no, say no. If the Holy Spirit's giving you a yes, quit fighting it. I got one amen. All right. Hallelujah. Praise Jesus. Thank you so much, Dennis. All right. Let's talk real quick about the scriptures. We need to be loyal to the scriptures. Everything that we know about God that is not revealed by his Spirit is revealed through his Spirit in the scriptures. Did I say that properly? I think so. Listen, all scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work. If you lack equipping, you're unclear on how to get there, what you need to do, guess what? The scriptures are here to teach you, and where you're wrong, correct you, and build you up so that you can be equipped for what? Every good work. I'm a really big fan of a culture that is, that, listen, this is one of the values we have for our leaders. One of the values that we have for our leaders is if you're going to lead people here, you have to have a daily encounter with the Holy Spirit. And I want all of you to have a daily encounter with the Holy Spirit. And one of the ways to do that is by opening your Bible and reading it. I don't care how long you know it, how great you know it. Listen, the Holy Spirit's shocking to me sometimes. I've read it 50 times. I never saw that before. Why? The Spirit is speaking. It's like, Tim, I highlighted that a long time ago, he said this morning, right? But boom, here it is. It's in my face and it's ministering to my heart. The Spirit knows what you need. So be loyal to be in the scriptures. This is not a religious duty. This is loyalty to loving God. Now, I'm going to let you in on a little secret. I don't read the Bible every day. I know I had to whisper that so it didn't make it to TikTok. Twitter, X. There is this reality where I'm walking in the Spirit and there are days where he's got me up and I'm doing things and I'm like, I did not sit down and crack it open, but I'm walking and living in the Spirit. That's okay. You can do that. Did you know? You can do that. And I'm hungry for the Word of God. Do you get that? If it's a religious duty, I'll avoid it because I hate that. But I'm actually hungry to hear God. And I know that he's speaking to me, but I'm also hungry to hear what he's going to say in the scriptures. Okay? Are we good? Yeah. All right. All right, that's loyalty to God and commitment to God. Can I give you a verse here that I think drives home loyalty? Romans 12:10 says this. In the New English Translation, I liked this one. Be devoted to one another with mutual love, showing eagerness in honoring one another. So we've got to learn how to have a commitment and a devotion and a loyalty to each other. To each other. Let me give you three ways that we can have a commitment to support each other. Number one, in your communication, we need to be loyal in how we communicate. In conflict, one of the great lessons that Meek and I learned from Tony and Gwinnett Portera, because we were dealing with a lot of leadership conflict 6 years ago, five, 6 years ago, with lots of leadership conflict. And one of the things that they said, you know, because we were processing a little bit, because it was a difficult season for us in ministry. And Tony Gwinnett said, listen, when you sit down to have a hard conversation. Could we just say, hey, we love you and our relationship is off the table? We can have a conflict, but our relationship is off the table. We're going to stay in relationship after this conflict. However this comes out, our relationship isn't going to change. It might look different, but we're still committed to each other to be in relationship. The relationship's off the table. And this is what I'm talking about with loyalty. If you have a conflict, it doesn't mean that you have to break relationship. So let's be loyal in our communication. James 1, I spent all last week on this, so I don't need to hammer this one home. I'm just going to read two scriptures. So then, James 1:19, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath. Ephesians 4:15-16, talking about fivefold ministry and how the leaders in the body of Christ are to be helping equip the saints for the work of the ministry. Why? So we can look like Jesus. Not look like me, look like Jesus. I'm surprised more of you didn't say amen to that. Okay. All right. He says this in verse 15 and 16. He says, but speaking the truth in love, that we may grow up in all things into him, Jesus, who is the head, Christ, from whom the whole body, say, I'm the body. From whom the whole body, joined and knit together by what every joint, say, I'm a joint. From what every joint supplies, you know, joint. From what every joint supplies, oh Lord, I'm really stepping in it today. Wow. According to the effective working by which every part does its share, it causes growth of the body for the edifying of itself in love. When we do our part and we're able to communicate, when we can speak the truth in love so that the body is edified, we're built up to look like Jesus. Amen. Commitment to support each other. Being loyal to each other looks like this. You don't quit on each other. Yeah. You don't quit on each other. Don't quit. 2 Timothy 2:2. Paul's writing to his son in the faith, Timothy, and he says, the things that you've heard from me among many witnesses, commit these to faithful men who will be able to teach others also. Be faithful. Don't quit. Don't quit on each other. Colossians 3, therefore is the elect of God, verses 12 through 15. Therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, put on tender mercies, kindness, humility, meekness, long-suffering, bearing with one another, and forgiving one another. If anyone has a complaint against another, even as Christ forgave you, you must also do. But above all these things, put on love, which is the bond of perfection, and let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to which you also were called in one body, and be thankful. Don't quit on each other. When it's hard, stay in it. Jesus doesn't leave it or leave us when it gets hard for us. He's actually more present when it's hard. We don't hold people at bay when it's getting difficult. The devil loves this. He loves to make it so that you quit on each other. And that if somebody said something that's hurtful to you, you go run away and you tell all the bad stories about that bad church and da-da-da. And the devil's happy as a clam because you quit on him. We can't quit on each other. Be loyal to one another. Lastly, do the hard things. Let me just say, if we're going to have loyalty, sometimes we actually have to do the hard things that you don't want to do. Have the hard conversation that you don't want to have. Be honest when you blew it instead of trying to cover it up. There's actually healing in the confession, and hopefully you've got a group of people that have said, I love you, and there's nothing you can do about it. There's no way you can mess this up. I've said that to so many people. Listen, there's no way for you to mess this up. I might have a hard time with your behavior. But you cannot mess up our relationship. Why? I'm loyal and I'm committed to you. I'm not going anywhere. Now, Hebrews 3, 12 through 14 says this, "Beware, brethren, lest there be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God. But exhort one another daily while it is called today, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. For we have become partakers of Christ if we hold the beginning of our confidence steadfast to the end." Sometimes doing the hard thing is confronting behaviors that are unhealthy. But let me tell you, we speak the truth in love. I love the way Dave Crone says it. We have truth wrapped in love, and it's preceded by grace. We assume grace. We're going to have grace for you. We're going to have grace for your failures. We're going to have grace for when you blow it. We're going to have grace for it. Not because it's cheap. Actually, it's really hard to have grace. And it actually, it's an empowerment by the Holy Spirit. We're going to be empowered by the Holy Spirit to be able to love you and have grace for you in the midst of whatever it is that you're going through. And we will speak the truth in love. We might even say the hard things. Why? Because I'm loyal to you. I believe in you. I believe in your best. I believe that God has called you out of darkness into his wonderful light. Why would I let you stay in darkness? It is not about condemnation. It is not about shame. It's just a willingness to speak the truth in love. Sometimes being loyal to each other means that we do the hard things. Do you know one of the hard things that you might have to do is forgive? One of the hard things that you might have to do is trust. One of the hard things that you might have to do is allow for there to be some vulnerability when I want to protect myself. I don't want a culture of fake people running around bouncing off each other's lies. Are you with me?
Yeah.
Okay, good. So let's talk about what does unity look like? Because what happens is if we can love God with all that we are and we learn how to support each other well, right? We're loyal. We're loyal people. And if we can learn how to do these things, guess what it is? What's produced? Unity is produced in the body of Christ. Unity is not a feeling. I just mess with somebody. Unity isn't a feeling. And it's not even 100% agreement. Unity is not that we agree on everything all the time. We're not going to agree on everything all the time. Unity is way bigger than that. There's a Greek word that I think is really important for this, and it's homothumadon. And it's used 10 times in the New Testament, and 12 times, and 10 times it's used about believers being in one accord with each other. That's the word one accord, homothumadon. It's being of one accord. Let me read the definition. It helps us understand the uniqueness of the Christian community. Homothumadon is a compound of two words meaning to rush along and in unison. The image is almost musical. A number of notes are sounded which, while different, harmonize in pitch and tone as the instruments of a great concert under the direction of a concert master. So the Holy Spirit blends together the lives of members of Christ's church. Isn't that beautiful? That's what unity is. We're not the same. We don't see everything the same way. Scripture doesn't say we have to. but we need to be of one accord. Romans 15, 5 through 6 says this, "Now may the God of patience and comfort grant you to be like-minded toward one another." So where do we need to be like-minded? Toward one another. How I treat you, the way that I believe the best in you, the way that I forgive. I want all of us to be like-minded toward one another. Like-minded toward one another. According to Christ. Let me start at the beginning. "Now may the God of patience and comfort grant you to be..." Wait. Why do I need the God of patience and comfort? Let me count the ways. That's good. Why do I need the God of patience and comfort? Why? So that I can be like-minded. All right. "Now may the God of patience and comfort grant you to be like-minded toward one another according to Christ Jesus, that you may with one mind and one mouth glorify the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ." Yeah. Wow. Yeah. With one mouth, with one mind, glorifying God together. Sounds like synergy to me. One of the most beautiful things about unity is that it's a conduit for blessing. Unity is a conduit for blessing. There's different levels of disagreement. Would you agree? There's things that are like foundational core beliefs that if we're not in agreement, it's really hard to be in unity. There's like doctrinally, we've got these core fundamental doctrines of Jesus. We've got fundamental doctrines about Scripture. We've got fundamental doctrines on the role of the church and what should we be doing. But then there's other doctrines that I believe are very, very true that other brother and sisters in Christ don't believe to be true. Guess what? I still have to choose to trust. I have to choose to be loyal, even though I don't necessarily agree with all of it. Is God at work in them? Yes. Do they agree about tongues? No. Is that okay? Yes. The devil loves division and accusation. Loves it. Loves it. It's his playground. He's trying to create division in the body. He's trying to create division in the church in Bonner County right now. Can I just tell you? It is so critical for us to stand united together and have the character and have the love and the honor that's required to live in unity. Psalm 133 says this, "Behold, how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. It is like the precious oil upon the head, running down on the beard of Aaron, running down on the edge of his garments. It is like the dew of Hermon, descending upon the mountains of Zion. For there the Lord commanded the blessing, life forevermore." How good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. As much as is our part, we will dwell together in unity with one another and with the body of Christ around us. Mika and I have been under some different attacks over the years from other Christians because I'm divorced. Speak in tongues. I believe that women are called to eldership and leadership. I've got a firm biblical ground for that. I have not done my homework. I'm not following the culture. I actually look at what the New Testament church looked like, and I agree. So now I actually have to say, what did they practice versus a couple of sketchy verses that we've taken out of context? That's all I'll say today. Many of you have heard me go off on this. Not today, Satan. All right. We are called to be a conduit for blessing. You cannot live in unity if you're not loyal to one another. Remember the seventh thing God hates? The one who sows discord among brethren, God hates it, and we will have no part in it. Hallelujah. Yeah. Let me tell you, another way for us to live in unity is for you to honor leaders. This is actually really important. And in our culture and our society, that is me first and I know best and just me and Jesus and we'll do it and we don't need any. God lays out a very different model in Scripture than what our culture and our Christian culture says today. So let me just give you two passages. They're both in Romans 13. I'm going to read these quickly so that nobody throws tomatoes at me. All right. Honor leadership. Hebrews 13, 7 through 9 says this. Remember those who rule over you, who have spoken the word of God to you, whose faith follow, considering the outcome of their conduct. Jesus Christ is the same, yesterday, today, and forever. Do not be carried about with various and strange doctrines. The reason why I read all of that, not just the honor those who rule over you, because the word rule is interesting, and I think it's important to understand that those of us who are teachers and those of us who've been commissioned by God and people have laid hands on us and said, the authority that we have, we've given to you to carry on that mantle, to carry on this role. Mika and I have had hands laid on us to be the pastors of this house, to shepherd the flock that is here. We do it diligently with all of our heart. We're not half in, half out here. We are all in with you. And we know that there's a responsibility that comes with that. For us, there is a responsibility that comes with that for you, which is why we actually want to make sure you understand our DNA. We want to make sure you understand some of our doctrine. We want to make sure that's why we give you the all-in journey with the packet, like in the packet, at the end of the packet. What's our distinctive doctrines? We'll lay it all out for you. What do you believe? Ask the questions, figure it out, let us know. Do you feel called here? Because this is not about whether or not you're part of this because it's comfortable. Are you called? If you're called, I'm called to you. And you're called to me. We get to do this together. There is no lording anything over in the kingdom. Control is demonic. The spirit of control is demonic. And so we don't even know how to build with freedom anymore. We're waiting for somebody to tell me what to do. That's why we have a culture of empowerment. Hey, just stay teachable and go run. Can you stay humble and have the character of Christ? If you could do that, let's build. What's in your heart? Let's go. Because it's not about control, it's about freedom. The kingdom of God sets leaders to serve. Ha ha, to serve, not to say, can you shine my shoes and carry my bag for me, armor bearer? I think I just stepped on that. Oh, Lord. Oh, Lord. Wow, I'm really on one today. Hallelujah, Jesus. If you're struggling with me, you have disagreement with me, you have disagreement with leaders, then follow godly communication and sit down and have a conversation. I am great with people puking all over me, okay? I got wet wipes. Sometimes I got to pull out the plastic bag. I'm like, this is about to be a Gallagher event right here. You guys remember the old comedian Gallagher with the sledgehammer and the fruit? Everybody in the front row had, sometimes I know what's coming. I'm okay with it. We're okay with it. We're okay with it. I would rather have a hard conversation than none. Yes. Because I love you. I love you, Jim. Dennis knows I love him. I love you, Justin. I believe so strongly in you that I'm willing to lay my life down and pour everything I have so that you can become who God has called you to be. That's why I'm here. And I'm not moving. But the honor has to be, what's the right word? Reciprocal. Thank you. Already leaning in. This is good. You guys are finishing my sentences. Praise Jesus. The author of Hebrews, which AI believes is Paul. Oh, that was good. Okay. Hebrews 13, just a little bit further down in Hebrews 13:17 says, obey those who rule over you, be submissive, for they watch out for your souls as those who must give an account. Let them give an account. Let them do so with joy and not with grief, for that would be unprofitable for you. And, you know, I very rarely feel the need to ever even talk about submission in the sense of like the church and all that stuff. But if you're called, be all in. If you're called, choose to trust that we're not here to get you. We're not here to force you. We're not here to make you do anything. We're just to support you in the call that God has on your life. I love the conversation when I talked to the, I was just reminded of this, when I said, called the fundraising committee and I was texting and calling and having these conversations and the response was, we trust you. If you feel like that's the way we're going to go, we're going to go. And it was just, it was life to my soul to know that those people who are all in and committed actually have a level of trust that we're hearing God. Isn't that beautiful? It meant a lot to me. So thank you. You know who you are. Loyalty is choosing to live in unity through our commitment to love God and support each other. This is the fruit of honoring. This is the fruit of grace. It's the fruit of love. And it brings unity to the body of Christ. The early church was built on a foundation of loyalty and commitment. They were loyal to one another. They were in the trenches getting persecuted together. They, when one of them got arrested, they gathered at a house and prayed so hard that the earth shook. They were loyal to each other. They didn't abandon anybody. They prayed for each other. They supported each other. And we see this in Acts 2. In Acts 4 is the prayer where we see the ground shake when Peter's arrested. Right? And then he gets let out of prison, knocks on the door, and they're like, oh, just angels were so common. It's just his angel. Not this one. Acts 2, 40 through 47. And with many other words, he testified and exhorted them. This is on the day of Pentecost, saying, be saved from this perverse generation. Then those who gladly received his word were baptized. And that day, about 3,000 souls were added to them. And they continued steadfastly. They were loyal. They continued steadfastly in what? The apostles' doctrine and fellowship. It wasn't just the teaching, it was they spent time together in the breaking of bread and in prayers. Then fear came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were done through the apostles. Now all who believed were together and had all things in common. Sold their possessions and goods, divided them among all, as anyone had need. Verse 46, so continuing daily with one accord. There we go. Continuing daily with one accord in the temple, breaking bread from house to house. They ate their food with gladness and simplicity of heart, praising God and having favor with all the people, and the Lord added to the church daily those who were being saved. Will you stand with me? Welcome to the new season at Harvest Valley. We will see the fruit of synergy in our region. We will see it here in this house. We're going to see that through our loyalty to one another and through the loyalty that we have to God and through our loyalty to truly be the body of Christ to one another, revival is the fruit. See, we live in a culture that's desperate for a steadfast friend. We live in a culture where people are trying to get intimacy from an online exchange. We are here. We are going to be loyal to this community and love them in a way that they don't even know what to do with it. And in those moments, we say, it's Jesus. It's Jesus. When they were in one accord, thousands were added daily. And this is the call for us as loyal men and women of God, as people who are loyal to God and loyal to each other, to model the kingdom of heaven on earth because it is attractive to the lost. When you never have a negative thing to say about anybody, they go, what's wrong with you? No, really, tell me what, I know churches are all flawed tell me about the problems at your church. And when you have nothing bad to say, well, maybe I'll come. What do you mean they love each other? I don't know churches like that. They actually know each other well. Yeah. Yeah. If you're a guy, get involved in one of Paul's blacksmith groups he's launched. We'll be hearing more about that. Get loyalty. Get together with each other. There's more for us because revival is coming and it requires us to be loyal to God and to support each other. God's laying a foundation so that we can actually build the kingdom of heaven right here. And it is time to build. It is no longer a they're coming. No, it's time. It's time. This is why our values are so important, because this is how you have to be in the kingdom of God. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you for every person here. I thank you that they have a heartfelt desire to honor you with their life. They have laid down their life fully and completely for you. They love you. They have forsaken all. I pray, God, if anyone in this room has not forsaken all things to follow Jesus, that they would follow Jesus today, that they would lay their life down in full surrender and say yes to you. Yes to you, Lord. We thank you, God, that you are birthing in our hearts and in our minds a fresh passion for loyalty and for honest, healthy relationships. God, I pray right now that each person would make a heartfelt commitment to you, Jesus, and that they would also make a heartfelt commitment to each other. God, I am praying that this would not be a negotiable issue for them, that they would be loyal people who build the kingdom of heaven because you've called them here. And Father, I pray that they would allow their commitment to be the foundations of their healthy relationships. We know in marriage, God, that you've said that it's the vow, it is the covenant, it is the commitment that causes a marriage to last. And Father, I ask right now that for those who are committed and those who have chosen to be loyal, that you would put that commitment deep in them so that they can fulfill all that God has for them, that they would not run away when it's hard, that they would not quit on each other, but that they would be fully surrendered to you in every way, in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Father, I thank you. I thank you, God, that you are removing our fear, the fear of conflict, those excuses that we've made, God, to run away, to not stay connected, God, because of fear. You're removing that fear. Let your perfect love be poured out right now in Jesus' name. Let your perfect love be poured out on each person in Jesus' name. That all measure of self-protection would be removed and they would begin to choose to trust that you are their protector. They don't need to do it themselves. They can trust you above all else, God, because you are faithful. You are faithful. You are loyal to us, God, and we are so grateful. I'm going to ask Mika to come up with me, and I want her to pray a blessing over you. As a mother of this house, as someone who has a deep love for all of you, God has been doing a work in us, and I feel like this next season is the fulfillment of decade plus of sowing seed and tilling soil here. This next season is a renewal of what it means to be the family of God. So Mika, if you could just pray over everybody, that would be great. Thank you. I'm just putting her on the spot, so she's listening to the Holy Spirit right now.
Father, I praise you for your heart, your heart of love, and that's your commandment to us. It's like the first and foremost. So I just pray the blessing of the mother's and the father's love over you as a church body, and that you would be united in love. Yeah, and Lord, I pray that you would just stir up each person's faith as they're being loved into fullness. Yes. Stir up the faith in each one, Lord, to believe you for how you love them and to just fully surrender into that. I just bless you with the ability to become all that the Lord has created you to be. And I just see him just smiling on each one of you. And you know, as humans, sometimes we have to choose to be pleased with one another. But God just is. He made you,
Lord. Yes.
He knit you in your mother's womb. And he's delighted. He's delighted in you. It's that greeting that Tim was talking about. Like, he's delighted every time he sees you. He's delighted every time he looks upon you. So I just bless you with that knowing and that experience of just being so adored, so loved. And I bless you with the joy of a parent who's excited to see their kid, who's excited to play and engage and enjoy. And so I just release you to be free to be that person who's received and who is receiving. I bless you with the ability to engage with the people around you, knowing that you're received and that you receive. In Jesus' name, amen.
May the Lord bless you, keep you. May his face shine upon you and be faithful to you. Lord, turn his face toward you and give you peace. Amen? Amen. Amen. Bless you. Let's go eat some food, eh?
Thank you for joining us today. Harvest Valley Worship Center is called to be a refuge for healing and a launch pad for transformation. If this message impacted you today, please let us know in a comment, or you can email us at media@hvwc.com. Thank you for joining us, and we look forward to connecting with you.